knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry if you love films.
Mark, I know that was a little confusing for you because you're not here every day, but I am here every day, and it was really confusing for me.
That was terrifying, but I'm really happy to be here on the stream now. I feel so much more relaxed.
This is the bonus hour, legally the bonus 80 minutes. I mean, if you're going to get technical. We now fold in our friend Dean Richards here to talk about entertainment and movies. Dean, how are you? Can you hear us? Hold on a second.
Dean is somewhere.
Testing 1, 2.
There you are, Dean.
Testing 1, 2.
Hi.
I just want to say how much I've enjoyed this seamless transition.
You hardly even notice it, do you?
Over the air to web. I broke out in a cold sweat for you at one point, knowing what it's like to sit there when
Dean,
somebody goes, you gotta fill 3 minutes.
Right. It's easy.
And not that you can't fill 3 minutes. It's not, you know, it's not that tricky to talk that long.
That was hard.
But when you're not, you know, you're not prepared.
Right.
You think you're switching gears. You know, it took you guys a couple of seconds to, like, shift your gears and start talking about baseball to feel like you get into your comfort zone.
But
enjoyed that tremendously.
That's what men do, is if you're at a loss for words about anything.
Right, sports.
You just talk baseball.
Right.
You just go, is it me or was Brooks Robinson the greatest third baseman of all time?
Right. You know what I like to do when something I have, you know, when something like this happens on my Sunday show?
Yeah.
I like to talk about the Kennedy Center.
Just automatically.
I don't know why. To me, it's a time killer.
Because who could say anything bad? You just say, do you guys remember in 1983 when Glenda Jackson was at the Kennedy Center for
and
the
Kennedy? Nobody does, so you can make up anything. Remember when she got on that trapeze?
Oh. Was that a crowd pleaser?
And dangled from the roof of the Kennedy Center by her teeth. Remember that?
We all remember that, right? Everybody remembers that.
And people want to seem like they're smart, so they just agree with you.
People are crazy.
Yes, I do. Speaking of the Kennedy Center, by the way.
What have you got?
What an ironic transition that they have announced this year's honorees for the Kennedy Center honors.
Oh.
They are.
Yes.
Sally Field.
Yeah. Well-deserved.
Because we love her. We really love her.
We really love her. She was in the... I guess she's being nominated for her work on The Girl with Something Extra. Do you remember that show?
I don't.
All right, so it was Sally Field and the great John Davidson.
Oh, wow.
And she was a woman who had some sort of psychic abilities, the Something Extra.
Hmm.
It was a sitcom that only lasted a year, but I'm guessing the Kennedy Center is just now catching up on those on Netflix.
Catching up. They just got done watching all the Flying Nun episodes.
And Sister Betrayal.
Decided to honor her anyway after working with John Davidson.
Yep.
Linda Ronstadt is going to be honored this year, which I think is very, very nice.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, all three of them are going to be honored this year as well.
Earth and Wind, I could see. Fire's a surprise.
Well, you know, he can be a little hot-tempered.
Yes, he can.
From time to time.
Yes, he is.
We all know.
True.
Conductor Michael Tilson Thomas.
It's about time.
And Sesame Street.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's amazing to me that Sesame Street, Linda Ronstadt, and Sally Field have not already, well, and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Really, it's amazing to me that all of them haven't been.
That's going to be quite a show.
I think it's going to be great. And that's going to be December 8th at the Kennedy Center in Washington. And it's usually, I think it's on, is it on CBS usually?
I think it is on CBS normally.
One of the BSs.
Probably CVS. Or CVS, it's on this year.
Might be.
The Pharmacy Network.
Yeah, it could be.
Can we do a quick detour back to Sally Field?
Absolutely.
And I don't... Can you guys just get me up to date on what it was like when she was dating Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit? I mean, that's like a...
It was a magical time.
That seems magical to me.
Yes. Yes.
Not as magical for me as when Burt Reynolds was dating Dinah Shore.
That was also magical.
That was. Do you even know who Dinah Shore is, Mark?
No, I don't. I feel like I know the name. I feel hold on. I mean, I know the name, but like I would like I'm looking up Sally Field right now. It's like, oh, that was Sally Field from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
So Dinah Shore. These are always.
This is going to be sad when you don't know who Dinah Shore is.
I don't know who Dinah Shore is.
Maybe one of the most popular girl singers ever.
She saw the USA in a Chevrolet.
She did. That was she was the girl singer, spokesperson, I guess you might say, singing the Chevrolet commercial. See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Dean, when I was 13 years old, my family took my brother and I to Las Vegas because there's no more fun city in America when you're 13 than Las Vegas. So we're staying at the MGM Grand.
There's swimming pools.
And yeah, there movie are swimming pools and movie stars. And my brother takes the elevator from our floor, the 17th floor. He's going down to the lobby, I guess, to cash in his chips, I guess. I don't know. And at the 15th floor, Dinah Shore gets on the elevator.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And my brother Adam just points at her as she gets on, doesn't say anything, just points at her, and points at her all the way down, just keeps pointing at her. And then when the doors opened on the lobby floor, my brother said, words I'll never forget, "You're Dinah Shore."
That's huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't sure until my brother explained to her who exactly she was.
People of that stature must get stuff like that all the time, I would guess. But Dinah Shore, very famous singer.
Dean, the scandal I remember with Dinah and Bert was that Dinah was about 12 or 13 years older than him.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
That was scandalous back then.
Completely scandalous. She had a very, very long-running afternoon talk show.
That was gentle.
That's how I thought, Mark, that you might remember her from when you were little. I guess I have to look up and see what years that talk show was, because I want to say...
In the 70s?
You guys are right about that, as I'm looking here. Hosting two talk shows in the 70s, TV Guide ranked her at number 60 on their list of top 50 television stars of all time, for the record.
She hosted two shows, The Dinah Shore Show and Meet the Press. What a strange choice she was for that job, remember?
She was a multifaceted, multi-talented person.
Bert said that love relationship was the love of his life, was Dinah Shore.
I can believe that.
I guess so.
She was very attractive. She was very nice.
Do you remember what TV star Bert was married to for a little while?
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson for a little while, but prior to that, he was married to somebody from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Judy Carn.
Judy Carn.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
The Sock It to Me Girl.
Mark, any of these names ringing any bells? No? Zero?
Mark
feels like he's hanging out with, visiting his grandfather at the home.
Errol
right
Flynn?
Now.
Big Errol Flynn fan?
I'm going through Bert's history right now. He was married to Judy Carney?
Judy Carn.
Yeah,
from Rona Martin's Laugh-In.
Okay, so they married in 63, divorced in 65. Then
he socked it to her.
Maybe
literally.
Then he had partners, Dinah Shore, from 71 to 75. It's amazing that they have these years really boiled down to when he was partners.
Yes.
And he was partners with Sally Field after that from 76 to 80. And then he got married to Lonnie in 88 and divorced in 94.
That ended ugly.
And he passed away in 2018, Bert.
Yeah, so true.
He's not been married since then.
No, he stopped. He stopped marrying people.
Yep.
I always kind of got... I thought Bert was the coolest guy ever, and then Deliverance, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then what was the... the pornographic film that he was in that wasn't actually... what am I talking about?
I'm blanking on the name, too.
It was about the making of a pornographic film.
Right.
It wasn't Mark actually, Wahlberg.
He wasn't in a pornographic
film. Yeah, what was
right.
that called?
That was... Hold on, I'm pulling it up.
And William H. Macy.
Yes, and it was like, it was just very disturbing.
Such a great movie.
It was such a great movie, exactly. It was one of the greatest movies of all time.
Would you agree, as Mark's looking it up, would you agree with me,
Boogie
Dean?
Boogie Nights,
thank you. For every
Mark is a very quiet Googler,
isn't he? The quietest of the Googlers.
You must have very soft hands.
I was scrolling through Wikipedia to get to the bottom.
So gently, though.
Thank you.
So gently. Would you agree with me about this, Dean? That for every horrible movie that Burt Reynolds made, all those Smokey and the Bandit movies and Stroker Ace and the list goes Paternity, the list goes on and on and on. When he was in a good movie like Deliverance, he was really, really good.
Awesome.
Right?
He was awesome. He was a great, really great actor. But I'm sorry, you can take all of his movie roles together.
Yeah.
And to me, does not top his famous appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. You know what I'm talking about,
I do know.
Bill.
Yeah.
He shows up on set wearing a leather outfit, if
yes.
I'm remembering correctly.
Leather pants,
leather
for
pants.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he starts goofing around with Carson, a can of, was it shaving cream?
Yeah, shaving cream or whipped cream? I want to say shaving cream. That sounds right.
They started throwing shaving cream at each other and wound up with, I mean, they were doing it in a very Stan Laurel, very geniusly staged comedic way, slowly and staring at each other, where Burt Reynolds would pull open, like, or the waistband of Johnny Carson's pants and shoot shaving cream down through his pants. Or yep. Was it vice versa? Yep. Where
I remember where Burt had a lot in his pants Reynolds. There. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But maybe one of the funniest things ever seen on television, ever.
Mark, you got to come. Every Friday, Dean and I get together and we watch old episodes of Dan August. Why don't you come over and watch with us? Come on.
I'm in it's for fun. The future.
You got to be.
We show easily digestible food. We yes, serve.
That's a rule.
Easy to chew, easy to digest food.
All right, let's take a quick break. Dean Richards is here. He'll tell us what movies are coming out next. It's Bill and Mark in for Wendy on WGN. It's the Circle of Life. That's what it is. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill, and that's Mark Harmon filling in for Wendy. We're on the stream. Dean Richards is our guest.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata to you, sir. I say that to everybody now.
Thank you. I like walking up to people in Jewel.
No, in Jewel you say Hakuna Potato. It's close. Dean, before we talk about The Lion King, the new version of The Lion King, just really quickly, are you surprised at all the attention this 007 thing is getting, that they've chosen a new 007, not a new James Bond, but some people are a little upset about it?
I'm shocked that people are reacting, not exactly violently, but pretty close. I mean, it's a very, very negative and kind of hateful response. God forbid that the character should be introduced who is a woman.
Right.
God forbid that it's a woman of color who is going to be the, apparently the premise of the next James Bond movie is going to be that James Bond retires from the MI6, mm-hmm. and something happens where they try to bring him back, but his agent number after his retirement is assigned to somebody else. Agent 007 is mm-hmm. assigned to somebody else. And the actress who will be taking this over is a she's actually a London-born black woman, and she was the fighter pilot in Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. and she'll be apparently, I guess, transitioning and taking over, not as James Bond, but as 007.
A new 007.
Yeah, I think it's great.
But people say, but 007's always been a white guy. What's this?
Yeah.
But we adapt. We move on.
It's a new world.
Right. And it gives them a chance
to back.
Have, right. That people are going to chant that at the movie theater during the whole movie. It gives them a chance to have two different lanes now. You can bring back a new actor playing James Bond, but this can be a whole, like, a side route, somebody new.
I think it's a very smart idea. It gives them lots of different options for, you know, different things to do with this franchise in the future, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Me too. All right, let's talk about The Lion King. Finally, the live action version, but it's all CGI. It's live action, but it's CGI live action, yeah, right?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I haven't been calling it live action because there are no humans that have been filmed to be in this. This entire movie is computer generated. And this new process that they have, photorealistic computer animation is what it's called, is uncanny. It's even more uncanny and beautiful and realistic than The Jungle Book that came out a couple of years ago. That was the film that the director of Lion King, Jon Favreau, mm-hmm. Put together, in which he did incorporate. He had both humans and computer animated animals in the movie. But this new Lion King is just animals. The storyline pretty much follows the original from 1994. Mark, did you grow up with as a kid watching Lion King?
I'm a little, unfortunately, too old for being a kid watching it.
Oh.
Are these not real animals here, Dean?
No.
These are
computer-generated.
All computer-generated. And it's this is one of the major positives of this film. It's unbelievable.
Didn't Dinah Shore take you as a small boy to see Lion King, Mark? Am I imagining that?
My childhood of films of this remote genre was Star Wars.
Oh.
E.T. All right. That era.
That would have been a little bit before. Then you were, yeah. you came a little late, yeah, late right. to the game for yeah. that.
I remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs crying at that for some reason. That was emotional for
at
me.
Star Wars?
Not yeah. Star Wars.
Yep.
Star Wars.
We were all sad at one point.
Star Wars, I did cry when they were in the trash chute. That was terrifying.
That was very horrible. Sad.
Yes. Yeah.
But this, I like this new Lion King very much. It pretty much exactly follows the storyline of the original. The realism in this is uncanny. Now, some critics have been saying that it's so realistic that it lacks energy and emotion.
Oh.
That seeing an actual lion, to see, you know, some of these actual animals without the drawn animated expression in their face
yeah.
is a hollow. I could not disagree with that more. I think, if anything, this makes it even more realistic.
Yeah.
Guess what? A lion is not going to grin at you and wink when they're telling a joke. You know, those are things that only happen in, you know, animated yeah. movies. This one is more realistic, but I did not leave this movie in any way feeling like it was empty or shallow or hollow in any way. I had a ear-to-ear grin
oh, good.
Watching it. I thought it was very beautiful. A lot of the songs have been updated. Elton John not involved in this project at all. It's Beyonce and Donald Glover. James Earl Jones, 88-year-old James Earl Jones, is the returning voice.
The only returning voice.
The only returning voice as little Simba, the you know, newly born lion cub's father, Mufasa. Who do we have? Oscar nominee Chiwetel Ejiofor, who was in 12 Years a Slave. He's the evil Uncle Scar, who sort of forces Simba out into exile, where he meets all kinds of unusual characters along the way. But it's very, very lovely, and I enjoyed it. I gave it a Dean's List A-.
Oh, good.
There's one other, just real quick, one other film that is opening this week that I want to tell you about called The Farewell. And it's a story about a Chinese family who gathers from different parts of the world. They all go back to China when they learn that their beloved grandmother may have a very short time to live. So they all kind of go back. But they don't tell the grandmother that she's sick. They pretend as though they've gone back for a wedding as the excuse for everybody gathering. So it's this very interesting story about mortality. It's a very interesting story about, you know, if there was something wrong with you, would you want to know the truth about what your prognosis is? Would you lie to somebody who's going through somebody like that? It asks some moral questions, but it's thoughtful and funny. But here's the biggest thing that I took out of this film. Maybe it's because of everything that's going on in the news right now. In the times in which we live, in which being different, I mean, much of this film is spoken in Chinese with subtitles. Mm-hmm. Much of it's in English. But at this time where ethnic diversity is being used to separate us, this film shows us how much alike we are, even though we're not Chinese, how much we have in common with the same kinds of goals and interests and things that we care about, and family members that we care about. We're not that different at all. We're all very much the same. So I really like this movie. The Farewell is what it's called. Awkwafina, who starred in the movie Crazy Rich Asians,
yeah.
she sort of stole that movie
yeah.
a little bit. She is the main star of this film with a whole load of A-list Chinese actors. So I'm super recommending that also, Dean's List B+.
I think that's a very important point.
Great timing to bring that up,
right?
Yeah.
We all, for the most part, 99% of us want the same things in life. We want a house over our head, food mm-hmm. to eat,
mm-hmm.
loved ones around us, friends. I mean, it's amazing how
right.
It's yeah.
And this one is, you know, much like say My Big Fat Greek Wedding was about a Greek family,
yes,
but really was about everybody.
Sure,
there are so many movies that are about a certain ethnicity, a certain racial category that show us. We're not all. We may dress differently. We may speak differently. Our skin colors may be different. We're really not that different.
So true.
And this movie really underlines all of that. And it's It's very sensitively and very beautifully written and performed. I might be my favorite movie of the week.
It's an interesting question too. Like, let's say you're whatever. We'll take us three, and you had some disease that you're going to go in the next 3 months. Would you rather not know and live fully, or would you rather be in terror for till the final day? I mean, yeah. I think most people would probably say they'd like to know so they could say their goodbyes, but there's the other side of it too, where you just enjoy it as much as possible. I'll be interested to see how they, you know, parse that in the film, Dave.
This movie deals with that very question in a very, very poignant way of how we in Western cultures tend to focus our lives in a very individual basis, but in Chinese culture, you are part of your family unit. You are part of a greater group of a community, your family.
Yeah.
And how one deals with crises as they come along the way not only affects just the individual, as we might deal with here in the West, but in a Chinese culture, how it affects the group as a whole.
Great idea.
And it brings some very thoughtful and poignant points along the way, and made me starving for Chinese food.
Oh, of course. That's a given.
After I got out of this
movie. That's a given. Dean, thank you so much. We will see you at the Dan August viewing party tomorrow night. All right. It's going to be fun.
I'll bring the shaving
cream. All right. Can't wait. Thank you, Dean. We'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Mark.
Just a quick side note on that with the Chinese food.
Yes.
Sundays, I'm normally doing the post-game show for White Sox. Every other Sunday is at Guaranteed Rate Field. So when you're coming out of Guaranteed Rate and you're heading back into the city, you're going right through Chinatown.
Yes, you are.
So I have turned that into a tradition now. Moon Palace and I'm willing to try other places, that was the recommended spot. So I've been coming out of there on a Sunday, and I'm picking up the Kung Pao chicken.
Perfect.
I mean, it's really,
we can't beat that for fun.
I mean, that's a nice little add-on in my life right now, Bill.
I understand. A little break, some news, more of us, Bill and Mark, in for Wendy on WGN. Ba 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 ba. Thanks, Jen DeSalvo. It's Bill Leff. It's Mark Carmen. Mark is filling in for Wendy. He'll be here again tomorrow. Wendy's got a week off. Well deserved.
She's been working hard.
Oh, she works so hard. She works her fingers to the bone, is what she does.
When she comes in here, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
She's already sweating.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think she should look into that, actually, Mark, because you shouldn't sweat just from walking in, but she does.
Probably not, but
yeah,
it speaks to something positive, Bill.
Can I pull back the curtain for just a little bit?
Sure.
We've got several texts that say essentially the same thing. I'll read you a quick sample of some of them. Please, please, all caps, stop playing that same song over and over during the commercial breaks on the stream. Here's another one. Why are you playing that same song over again? We've already heard it. Here's another one. Rick Astley, really? You can't do better than that? Here's another one. You guys are rickrolling us twice during each break. Do you not want us to listen to you on the stream?
I like the music, for the record.
Please stop the Rick Astley music on the stream.
I didn't know that other people were able to hear that. I thought that was only an internal thing and that they heard advertisements.
All right, here's the truth behind that.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said is supposed to be the way it goes. We hear it every day. Every break, we in the studio get to hear that song that you guys are hearing on the stream all day, every day.
And then we go home and, you know, drink ourselves to sleep.
Right. It's the only way we can cope. Right. It's not supposed to be heard during the regular broadcast or the stream broadcast. It's supposed to be internal, but on days where they have to switch the streams around a little bit, the rules go out the window. So our listeners are also treated to the same great music.
See, I'd like to pull the curtain back even further and just get a camera on and what buttons they're pushing, and just like see engineering at work.
Yes.
Maybe that could be something that could be tweeted out, perhaps, or
maybe
Instagrammable.
Maybe.
Just trying to figure out what exactly, if I hit this button, Astley will go away.
Let's see what'll happen.
I mean, I feel like there's no winning, though. We were getting yelled at over the text line for prophylactic commercials, and now it's
I know. See, normally that's what's supposed to happen is we here in the studio kind of we take the hit. We listen to that Rick Astley song. But then you guys are all treated to prophylactic commercials and stuff. And it's fun, we think. But then when I leave here, Mark, I'm not making this up. as I complain about the song, Wendy complains about the song, Kim Gordon comes in, she does the news, she complains about the song, and then I'm in the elevator going, never gonna let you up, never gonna let, you can't shake it. That's the Chumbawamba portion.
Now, these are the texts that I'm looking for. 847, love the song, double exclamation point, way better than the corny commercials, play over and over, 3 exclamation points.
Really?
This takes me back, Bill, to a point in my radio career. I was in my late 20s.
Yes.
And I did a show on WSBC 1240 AM,
oh,
which was a brokered station.
Listen to you, name dropper.
Yes. And so, well, this was big time.
Yes.
This was huge.
I know.
And the show in front of us was in Russian, and the show after us was in Yugoslavian. And they got tons of calls. But
you guys weren't getting any calls?
We'd come in, start talking sports, crickets. But like one of the things we did, because my partner, who was buying the time, the great coach John Cohn, his theory was that sports and music combined,
yes,
would be just a brilliant
can't
idea.
Beat it,
right?
Yeah.
And so we would play music in between the breaks. So it's taken me back to
those magical days of radio.
Yeah, that point in my illustrious career.
We will continue to try our best in the future to avoid this, because no one, as much as you might like Rick Astley or Chumbawamba, you don't want to hear the same song over and over and over. You even if you said, if I said, you know what I'll do, I'll play your favorite song for you, you go, okay, but don't do it every commercial break, please. Then it won't be my favorite song anymore. So we'll make an attempt to try to have this changed for next time.
Well, can we take requests right now for songs for the rest of the day? Is that a possibility?
Can do that. Yeah.
Or if there's any enthusiasts out there that know how to make fancy mixes,
right,
we will feature them.
Oh, yeah.
Or I don't know if we can do that. But, you know, it sounds like a good idea, right?
I feel like you've got a playlist, Jen, that could be added into the...
Oh.
It is all Disney show tunes.
Is it all? Yeah.
Okay.
Although...
Here's an interesting text. Please stop playing Rick Astley. Sign Rick Astley. He's tired of hearing it. He doesn't want it anymore.
I mean, you know, he doesn't want to promote himself over and over.
No,
and
no one does.
He wants to give somebody else a chance.
One does. All right, I know this is quite a leap, but while Dean Richards was on, he was talking about this movie that has just come out with Awkwafina. I don't remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of it? It sounds like such an interesting premise.
The Farewell?
Movie. The Farewell.
Yeah.
Thank you. In The Farewell, the family goes and they visit the grandmother who is dying, sadly, but they've decided, they've made a conscious effort to not tell her that she's dying. And then you actually kind of went and said, I'd prefer not to know. Here's an interesting story, or I hope it will be. We'll find out in a moment. One of the guys I play tennis with had a horrible situation where both of his parents had early onset Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Both of them. His dad, and then as his dad got sicker and sicker, it became apparent that his mom was suffering from the very same thing.
Ouch.
So a couple of years ago, he said to me, he goes, they've now devised a test that I can take, and my sister, he has a younger sister, that we can take to see if we are prone to the same early onset Alzheimer's that both his father and his mother had. And I said, you're going to take the test, right? And he said, absolutely not. And I said, why wouldn't you take the test? He goes, what good will it do me to know that my days are numbered? Because while they can't pinpoint the exact time you would probably get it, they can give you a pretty rough sketch of when you're most susceptible to it. And he's already, you know, he's in his late 50s at this point. So he says, you know, I know it's coming soon. So he said, my sister wants to take it. I don't want to take it. And they made a pact that either one of them takes it or they, you know, one or none. Both or none.
Okay.
Take the test. He told me yesterday. Now, keep in mind, he's been against taking this test for 2 years now, more than 2 years. He said yesterday, I took the test and there are no markers. How about that? Everything's fine.
Wow.
But if you were in that same situation, if you had two parents where, you know, it changed your life quality so much and then eventually took their lives, would you take the test or not?
I'd like to think I would take the test. We're going into a deeper zone
here. It's very deep.
Yeah, so, but I think this is, because we're all out here, right? Life is precious.
Sure.
And so... To me, it almost feels like a one decision thing, if you will. Like how, what's the one thing you're going to orient to every day? Like make every moment count.
Yeah,
and
which you should do anyway.
But maybe you uplift yourself a little bit into that more if you know that, quote unquote, your time is limited. But the thing is that there's, as we all know, but we don't think about, there's zero guarantees that we're going to make it to the end of the day.
Right.
I'm walking across the bridge this morning. It's pouring rain. The bridge is shaking. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right, true.
So I just think it's as best you can to orient towards, you know, today is the day, and
yeah,
and do your very best to be, you know, fully yourself, and just saying the things that you're afraid to say to the people that you care about, all
right,
that stuff. I mean, it's hard to do, but like, it's a beautiful thing if you can actually just move towards that. So whether you took the test or not, I guess my point is that that's just something that I'm trying personally to orient towards more and more.
Oh, absolutely.
But well, it's hard because we all complain about the dumbest stuff of all time.
Oh, of course.
And it's like,
how much your day is spent, you know, sweating the small stuff, as
right,
people say.
And not even complain, right, just the anxiety of like, oh, this is this going to work out? Is this not going to work out? Hey, man, just do your best. If it does, it doesn't. If it doesn't, doesn't, you know?
I asked him what changed his mind because 2 years ago when we first started discussing this, he was so set against this. And he said, what changed my mind is I realized that in my dad's case, he retired when he was in his late 60s, and then his plan was for he and his wife to tour and see parts of the world they had never been to. But because the illness gripped him so quickly, they weren't able to do that. They took a trip or two, and then that was it. He couldn't travel anymore.
Right.
And he said, I think I kind of would want to know, because as he's approaching 60, he wants to get some kind of time frame. And like you said, there's no guarantees. But if you know that something's coming, you go, maybe I'll retire a little bit earlier. I'll start doing this a little bit earlier than in my original game plan. There's something to that.
Sure. I'm thinking of now a good friend of mine was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, right? And she was scheduled to go on a trip to, I forget where, let's just say Mexico,
yeah,
with her husband and with their kids. And so now she's just been diagnosed with stage 4. Do they cancel the trip and start sitting with doctors and doing whatever they can immediately,
yeah,
or do they go on this trip with the family? And originally they were going to cancel the trip, and then they kept talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, and they decided to go.
Yeah.
And they had the best time they could possibly have. I'm sure there was a ton of tears on that trip too. It's, you know, you can't avoid what's going on.
Right.
There's going to be some discussions, but they went on the trip and they were so grateful that they did. And then they came back and she's, you know, beautifully still with us today, and it's 3-4 years later.
Yeah.
That was something where they went through, like, we could completely punt on this and do everything we can right now and just live into the terror of what,
yes,
is, or we can go and
live
a big full life and have this trip, and we'll deal with it as best we can when we come back. And that's what they decided to do, and they were super grateful they did. So
I don't think anyone could decide for them if it's the right or wrong decision. I think that almost has to be so internal where only you know the answer to that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. If you're going to go on the trip and you're going to be, you can't be there.
Right.
You're just going to be thinking I should be in the hospital right,
right
now.
Right.
Then you can't go. But if you can somehow make that, separate the two, I'm gonna be on this trip. I'm gonna be with my husband. I'm gonna be with my,
yeah,
kids. I'm gonna
live it.
I'm gonna, you know, whatever. I'm gonna have a Mai Tai at the,
yeah,
in honor of Mai Tai guy, if you will, at,
yes,
at the pool, and,
yes,
and you know, then I think the decision in my mind, if you're able to do that, is to go.
My friend told me yesterday that you know, keep in mind this original conversation took place about 2 years ago when he was debating whether or not to take this test, this screening test. So he said, of all the people I talked to about it, you're one of the only people who said you would want to know. Why would you want to know? And I said, I can't explain it. He said, would you live life differently? I said, yeah, how could you not? If you knew, I mean, we all have timers on our backs. We,
right,
just do.
Of course.
You know how the story ends. You just don't know when the story ends. So I said, without a doubt, I would live it differently. I don't know exactly how, but I think I would look at everything just a little bit differently. I'm already at the stage where, this is an interesting side note, but they were talking about this on Stephen Colbert's show the other day. He had Ricky Gervais on, and Ricky Gervais, like myself, is not a believer in the afterlife. I'm kind of the belief that the one we're living right now is the one we get. I would love for there to be a heaven and hell. I just don't see it, right?
Right.
So Ricky Gervais is of that same way.
You don't remember 1925?
A little bit.
Right.
Okay. So he said, he goes, what that does when you're not thinking about, oh, I'll have a second life where, you know, I'll be in heaven, is he goes, you say to yourself, how many more summers do I get? How many more this do I get? How? Because I think about that every when you're a kid, you have unlimited summers ahead of you. You go, oh, all right, I have 100 of them ahead of me. And then at some point in your life, you go, no, maybe I don't. Maybe I only have a very finite number of them. So you approach everything just a little bit differently.
Well, and as you know, what little I know of you outside of radio, Bill, and when you know we play tennis together, yeah, occasionally, you come out there and you're all in, man.
Oh, for everything.
Yeah, we've played ping pong.
Yeah,
you're all in there too. I mean,
thank you. Yes, are you?
And I think you do a better job of it than me. You push your limits to actually be in the moment in a way that I respect. To be honest, it's impressive.
But don't you think in the back of all that, it's approaching everything going, I have to enjoy this. I have to live it up.
Well, you don't have to. You could choose the other side. It's a choice you're making.
Yeah.
And I think it's the right choice. It's a great choice. But a lot of people don't make that choice, right?
Yeah. They're sleepwalking through stuff.
They're sleepwalking, and you know, I'll do it later, or what you're talking about as far as, well, if I do everything right now, then I'm gonna end up in heaven and get to eat pancakes every day, which would be sweet, and nobody knows what happens, and I hope that's the case.
I think the version you just explained is it. You get to eat pancakes every
right, and then you get to go play tennis, then you go to the beach, and then you know, I mean, it's just, maybe it's just something too big for us to understand, whatever it is, but I, regardless of what it is,
yes,
I think the premise of, And again, it's hard to do, but to get the most out of each day,
without a doubt,
it's so huge.
Don't take things for granted.
And I'll talk to the same person that I was mentioning with the cancer, you know, and you know, people, do you feel sorry for, you know, because I mean, she's in theory, you know, she's terminal, and she's trying to, but she's been pushing it off. But she's like, I'm no different than you. You don't know when you're going to expire. So and she's living a full ass life, you know, every single day, and this seems like, you know, doing everything that me, you, Kim, who just walked in, is doing,
right?
So it's just like a reminder, man, like you don't know.
I know.
And you know, say the things that you want to say every day.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so certain people like that, like they won't get off the phone without an "I love you."
Yeah,
you know, and I'm thinking like, you're that's a little over the top, but on the other side, it's like, it's really sweet.
Well, we just got a text message in. It says, "My grandmother, my sister, my mom's sister, and my mom's aunt died of breast cancer. Both my both another sister and myself had a hysterectomy due to non-cancerous cyst and tumors. My doctor suggested the BRCA test to see if I carry the BRCA 1 or 2 gene." Not doing it because I don't want to know that eventually I'm going to get breast cancer. Just being prudent about healthcare checkups.
You know what, Jen? I so appreciate somebody who takes that stance and says exactly what she just said. I get that. But do you also understand the part where sometimes it serves as a little bit of a nudge or a wake-up call for somebody to say indirectly, hey, remember, your time is very, very limited. So, you know, enjoy it, live it up. Play the game, you know, don't just sleepwalk through stuff.
I understand that, but I know that if I went and got the BRCA test and I learned that I was, you know, susceptible to breast cancer, I would have a double mastectomy. I would try to do the preventative stuff, especially, you know, if you have insurance and you can get that taken care of and covered. You know, we have science nowadays. We can do these things to extend our life. And it's also, you know, if children have already been born, you know, if they're already done doing their job and you don't need them to do any job anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, vanity thereafter to hold on to something that, you know, could be a ticking time bomb on your chest.
That was Angelina Jolie's story, right? Isn't that why she went in and had a double mastectomy for those reasons?
Yeah. I know a handful of people who have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. It makes sense.
As far as, like, knowing things, too, like, I'd like to walk through a cancer screener every day. So, like, do I have it now? Okay, well, then let's go and get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I know it doesn't quite work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
All right, let's take a quick break. Kim will give you the news in just a little bit, and then there's more of us, Bill and Mark, in for Wendy on WGN. Again, our sincerest apologies to those of you who do not like Rick Astley, because I know you've been treated to quite a bit of his music in the last almost hour.
It's an earworm.
Oh, so I'm
it's
sorry,
an earworm out there.
Yeah, it is. It is. I want to say we're doing our best to correct it, but
I don't think
we're
so.
Not. We're not.
We tried.
I Kim, a little while ago, I tried to make everybody feel better by saying that we here who work here, we right. get to hear that all day, every day. But that's a consolation prize. Yeah. It's not enough. All right, we'll do the news, and then we will play for you, Kim, the tape of the Bears coach changing one of the words to take me out to the ball game yesterday.
Right. I think I you'll need to enjoy hear the this. Clean version.
Yeah. Well, it's clean in some ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
I mean,
very
where
dirty
I can
in
hear
others.
It.
Yes. All right. It's news time first, though. Here's Kim Gordon.
Get ready to sweat. The heat index could be over 100 for the next few days. The city says they're preparing for the sizzling temperatures. Mayor Lightfoot reminds everyone to check on their neighbors. We'll have the full forecast coming up. No bail for jailed financier Jeffrey Epstein on sex trafficking charges involving underage girls. The judge's decision today comes after prosecutors argued Epstein should remain behind bars in New York City since he has the means to flee and is a danger to the public. The Sterigenics plant in Willowbrook will be allowed to reopen if it follows strict state guidelines on pollution emissions. It's all part of a deal the company made with the state in DuPage County. A judge still needs to approve the deal next week. Sports and weather next on WGN.
Just some quick texts. Please, for all that is good, please, please, please stop playing that song. Here's one. How about some Motown music? Here's one. Tim McGraw. It's not a request line.
How about just shuffle Pandora?
That would be all right.
That's what I said.
I'd be fine
That's
with that.
That's what I told the powers that be, but they don't want to listen.
I like the 630 text. Just an FYI, the music has been on your breaks on the stream and heard by listeners for at least a week, just in case you guys didn't know.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. I had no idea
it
was a week.
No wonder they're about to lose their mind.
I'm That's so sorry,
I've
everybody.
Called this radio waterboarding for a long time, and now they're getting a feel of what it's all about.
That's what the W in WGN stands for, is waterboarding.
Waterboarding. I do have to say, though, yes. if we only heard it once, it was a fantastic mix, and
once.
Duffy did a great job.
No, you're
on it.
Right. Right. You're so right. Here's one to the contrary from 727. I, and then the emoji for heart, not once, not twice, but three times, I heart this song. It makes me dance at my desk.
All right. I mean, I've listened to it for weeks, months now. I hate it. And yeah. every time I sit down here, you know me. I'm like...
You're bumping.
I'm bumping.
Yeah.
I mean, the 630's texting, I love it. It's better than the Geico commercial where the guy sounds off key. We love you, Geico.
We have that.
Yes. But it sounds like Matt Nagy can sing too.
Oh, all right. So you have heard this, Kim, but you've not heard a clean version of
right,
it.
Right, where I couldn't really hear.
All right. Let me take you all back in time. When we started the show today, Mark Harmon is filling in for Wendy, and I had this discussion. Yesterday, Matt Nagy, the coach of the Bears, sat in the booth to sing the seventh inning stretch, the Take Me Out to the Ball Game song. So it's him and his sons and their friends. And then Matt Nagy changed one of the lyrics. There is a lyric in the song, "Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack." That's the way it was always sung. But his version is a little more anatomical. Here is Matt Nagy's version, soon to be number one on your hit parade. Listen to this.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never...
All right, Chaz, you can stop it there. You got to admit, Kim, if he's okay. not saying what we think he's saying, it's awfully close.
Can we do a slowdown on it?
Is that possible, Jazz? I don't know what the technology is. And if not that, can we do a slowdown on that Rick Astley song? No, don't do that. It's already, the heat's already going to get to people. Don't do that. Listen. All right, here's the possible slowdown version.
Okay. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
See, when you saw it, I do hear a tiny bit of tea. Like,
you
I
do?
Think, I think that he...
Tiny tea?
Tiny tea.
That's not good.
With the, you know what? No, I do hear a little bit of tea. I think he just kind of like went over it a little bit. But
I think
it's...
I think he did it intentionally. I really do.
It was a dare, Kim.
Yeah.
We don't have official word, but the strong belief is that there's a dare
yep.
from one of his buddies, and Matt Nagy is $10,000 richer.
It makes me like him more. I liked him to begin with. I thought he took out a tough job. Coaching the Bears is not the easiest job in the world. I liked him right out of the box, but then... If this is true, if he said to a friend, hey, watch what I'm going to listen. Watch the seventh inning stretch. I'm going to sing a special version just for you. I like him even more.
Me too. And He's go. I mean, I don't think that Virginia, as in Virginia McCaskey, is she can't be thrilled with this. But he's willing to entertain his friends over the wishes of Virginia.
Well, the beauty of it is, if you're him, I don't know that anyone's confronted him with this yet. Has anybody in the sports world stopped him and said, hey, man, I saw the...
I mean, it's all over the place. So
it's
there's
everywhere
no,
now.
You know, he definitely knows about it.
He's going to have to make a statement at some point, right? Before training camp opens, right. Which is coming up here.
That's hard to do.
There was a text earlier, Kim. I've lost the text. I don't have it anymore. But he says, I know what the price of beer is at Wrigley Field right now. Can you imagine what you must have to spend on this?
True.
Well, there's a lot available. It just, yes. You know, that's part right. of the...
Yeah, right. I had a $7 soda the other night. I couldn't believe it.
So, as of this...
I think you get it easier in the bleachers than in the grandstand.
Oh, I would imagine.
Right, don't
yeah,
you think?
Easier in the bleachers,
right,
sure.
It's a little more... action going on out there, if you will.
There's also some trough joke that I'm not prepared to make on the show. Are you? I'm not.
Those are...
I'll leave it up to you, the kids listening.
Well, maybe that's now why, you know, those pills are blue, because it's cubby
right.
blue.
Right. Yes.
Here's those little blue cubby pills.
Yep.
Is this where we play Here's to You, Men in Blue?
No. No. No, no, no. All right, you had an encounter with Kyle Schwarber, the hero of the game the other day with a 10th inning walk-off home run. What happened with you and Kyle Schwarber?
Well, that was Mai Tai guy, right? So Mai Tai guy catches or reaches into the basket to get the foul ball, and everyone's been kind of crushing on Mai Tai guy for not giving the ball to a kid.
Right.
But this was the first ever walk-off for Kyle Schwarber at Wrigley.
Yeah.
So I thought that maybe Schwarber
wanted the ball.
Would want the baseball himself, or perhaps the kids would have it. I think we have this audio. So I went
you
up,
talked to Kyle Schwarber.
I went to Schwarb's, and yeah. I brought up Mai Tai guy, and would he want the baseball, and should he give it to a kid? So this was Kyle.
Would Kyle Schwarber rather Mai Tai guy give your first walk-off bomb back to you, to a kid, or should he keep it?
I guess the kid. Yeah, I'm a for the kids guy, I guess. So be cool if he found the kid or something like that and gave it back to him.
What if I told you that every kid at the game, there's like three of them, they all already got a ball, and this was the first time he ever caught a walk-off?
Oh, really? Oh, that's different then. It puts a different perspective, I guess. I don't know. Whatever his personal beliefs say, do.
But you personally, you're not sitting here waiting for the ball. It's cool if he keeps it or gives it to a kid.
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. Whatever.
First of all, great line of questioning from you to Kyle Schwarber. Second of all, were you guys in a church?
I know. I was going to say.
You're very quiet.
Well, see, it was the Cubs clubhouse, but... Was this
during Madden's press conference?
Well, Madden has his press conference in like the interview room, but you know people are going around. They're talking to Jason Hayward. They're talking to Anthony Rizzo.
Everybody has to hush it down a little bit.
Yeah, to Yu Darvish, it's the stars of the game. So I'm the lone reporter, me and Paul Sullivan, who were just honing in on Schwarber and saying, "Well, what?" And so, but I didn't want to, and I sort of didn't want to make a huge deal on the fact that I was doing things on Mai Tai Guy and Alert Cubs media. So I was kind of in a hushed
smart tone. Move.
And you know, Schwarber's is sort of a soft-spoken guy, so just being more boisterous seemed off.
If Kyle is aggressive in wanting that ball, what is the procedure? Do they say, Kyle, if you want that ball so badly, you got to pony up some cash. How much money would you give the Mai Tai guy for the baseball? What's the procedure that takes place?
They would figure out who Mai Tai guy is. They would contact Mai Tai guy and say, hey, Mai Tai guy,
yes,
what do you want for that baseball? Schwarbs is interested in it.
Yeah.
And they would probably say, would an autographed jersey work for you? And then Mai Tai guy would say yes.
So
and,
they start and they, out with more material items. They don't go right to money right away. They say, can we get you some tickets to a game or a jersey or a hat, something like that, and then it builds from there.
Right. And in this case, if that it doesn't sound like that's going to be going on, Schwarber doesn't seem like he really wants the baseball. But if Mai Tai guy's smart, or you know, maybe just to drop on the greedy side, he would say, I'll do it for a home and road jersey and a bat, and we're in.
Oh.
And then maybe they do it or maybe they don't.
All right. That makes sense.
So
you were at that game, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad I didn't get it.
Why didn't what you should have made more of an effort? What happened?
I took my niece to the game, right? And the ninth inning happens, and I get the text from my brother, and he's saying, well, how's it going out there? And I'm writing, it's great going to the 10th. And as I'm typing, it's going to the 10th. If it goes to extra innings, please, you know, don't stay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we walked to the corner, left field corner, and I want to take a picture before we walk out. I hadn't taken a pic. It's being the niece. You got to document these things. And then as we're, I just saw like, I went out to like, I thought it was an exit in the corner.
Yeah.
But it actually spins you into the bleachers, which they didn't used to have.
Right.
But this is the way they've built it out.
Right.
So, and I asked my niece, Grace, have you ever sat in the bleachers? No. I'm like, well, we got to walk out here and I just got to show you the bleachers. It'd be bad uncling if I didn't.
Yeah.
And her favorite player is Schwarber. So I said, we can stay until Schwarber, just don't tell him that we stayed. And so then we stay. Schwarber hits the homer, and now we got to tell the parents that I blatantly lied to him because you can't. You know.
What do you think of this? The other day,
how close were you though to in the bleachers to the ball?
We were two sections over to the right. We were basically at the foul pole.
So you couldn't have gotten in the fight.
No, we couldn't have.
Too far away.
Yeah,
too far away.
Yeah.
At one of the games the other day, they kept showing a guy who had not one but two ice cream cones. There's a guy sitting by himself at Wrigley. He's got two big ice cream cones. So he's eating one, then he eats the other, then he's eating one, then he eats the other. And they just keep showing him and showing him until eventually, at the end of the inning, he's eaten both ice cream cones.
Wow.
So I thought it was very amusing, but my wife said, this is horrible. Why would they?
He was going to take the cone and just like put it in the middle of his head.
My wife said, they're embarrassing this guy. Like, why? They're not embarrassing him. He's going to be famous. He'll go to work tomorrow and everybody will be, Randy, we saw you on TV. Yeah, that was great.
Muay Thai guy, cone man.
Right. We're making our own celebrities here. But she said, no, they're shaming this guy. What's wrong? He's just enjoying the game. And I go, that's all right. You're allowed to have a couple of ice cream cones during a game. There's nothing wrong with that.
It feels like the Seinfeld episode where George is at the U.S. Open and he's mowing a big sundae.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the hot foot sundae all over him. You got to know what world you're living in right now. There's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
If you're going to go to ice cream cones, you're a candidate to be on TV.
And then there's me at the Cubs game who had to go three different stalls to find my veggie burger.
Oh, yeah, they're not that easy to find there,
well,
right?
Well, I know exactly where it is, but then I went and they were out of them, and she said, "Well, they'll be back in 20 minutes," and I was hungry, so then I had to go find another one.
Did I tell you? I don't think I told you this. When we were in Maine 2 weeks ago, my brother and sister-in-law live in New Hampshire, and we were talking about how now it's prevalent at most fast food places. There's an option for a vegetable-based burger, right? So what's the one that Burger King has? Is that Miracle Burger or...
No, the Beyond Burger?
Beyond Burger.
Or the Impossible.
What is it? Is it a Beyond or Impossible? Maybe it's Impossible. So
the
she
Impossible
said,
kind of drips beet juice, like so it looks like red meat.
Right. My sister-in-law said that in New Hampshire, if you go to a grocery store, it says if you're looking for the Impossible Burger, you can get it as of August 10th because that's when Burger King's licensing runs out, meaning Burger King bought up the entire share of Impossible Burgers for the whole state of New Hampshire.
Oh, my goodness.
They're allotted a certain amount of it, and Burger King said, we'll take it all.
Because they're going to do the Whopper, right?
Yeah. They're a vegetable-based
version. A veggie-based. That's what I mean.
But isn't that crazy that in an entire state, somebody could come in and just buy up everything and say, for this next month, it's all
impossible to get the Impossible. Right.
The name makes sense.
Yeah.
The name absolutely makes sense.
Are you saying the veggie burger at Wrigley is good, for the record?
The black bean burger, yes.
It's pretty good. Does it taste?
Really?
Yes.
Like if you didn't know that it was not a hamburger, would you guess it?
Oh, it's not one of those. It's not supposed to taste like a hamburger. This one is like a black bean, kind of a spicy black bean burger.
Yeah.
So if you've ever had a black bean burger, it's a black bean burger.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I like better than some of these.
More flavor for you?
Well, I just don't love meat. So I don't want a burger that tastes like meat because I don't want meat.
I had a burger yesterday. It was delicious. But I like veggie burgers. Nice black bean. Sure.
Black bean's good. And it comes with like a little kind of a chipotle sauce. It's pretty good.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay. Not bad for Wrigley Field.
I have to say, stadium food, both at Wrigley and at Guaranteed Rate, it's so dramatically different from when I was a kid.
Oh.
When
there were no healthy options.
Yeah, United Center, definitely.
But I loved the food as a kid. I forever and always will... Soft pretzel, delicious.
Yeah.
That's my lunch sometimes. If I go to Wrigley for
lunch. Right?
That's what you'll have for lunch.
That's the start for sure.
I mean, and back then you had the malt cup, which was, you had the little wooden spoon.
Choco malt. Was that what it was called?
You know what the thing is about those wood spoons?
Right.
Don't they taste, like, once you're eating it for a while, you kind of taste wood? I always have to go get a plastic spoon.
Yeah.
I like the wood taste myself. I don't know why.
You're more rustic than Kim and I.
It enhances the flavor.
Yes.
You're far more rustic than I am.
It just feels like you're at a ball game when you're eating with the wood spoon. They don't do it anymore. Lemon chill just ruined the malt cup. That was.
Oh, you think so?
I think Lemon Show. That was the end.
Very different.
Right. But
desserts.
Correct, but for some reason, Lemon Chill was the new cool thing, and it just muscled out the malt.
Yeah, maybe it did.
Yeah, not me.
Yesterday was National Hot Dog Day, and I said this yesterday. I can't enjoy a hot dog unless there's a baseball game being played. Like, I can't just go to a restaurant and get a hot dog, or at home, I would never just put one on the grill. If there's not a baseball game in front of me, the hot dog just doesn't taste right.
But what if you're having a party and there's lots of people around eating? Does that make a difference? It just has to be festive, or it has to be baseball?
It has to be baseball. Okay. It makes the hot dog taste better. It makes the game better if you have a hot dog. At home, I would do brats or sausage over a hot dog. But if I'm at Wrigley or if I'm at Guaranteed Rate, the hot dog makes perfect sense to me.
So well, the bison the dog suffice? They have the bison dog
I've not had Wrigley. That, but I've heard good things.
I don't know. I haven't had it.
I drove by Portillo's yesterday, and I don't know why, but my car was going right in there.
It was National Hot Dog Day, Mark. You couldn't help it.
I had to literally just grab as hard as I possibly could and pull away, and I was so proud of myself when I got past it. And then I saw like this enormous line to get into Portillo's yesterday. But I'm not with you, Bill. I like hot dogs.
You're there anytime. You can have one.
Is
and enjoy
a hot dog
it.
Your go-to at Portillo's, or do you do Italian beef
no,
or
the,
something?
No, the beef. But I if I really want to do the Portillo's right, I want to have a hot dog. I want to have a beef.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to have. Probably
onion rings.
Nah, chocolate cake.
Do you salute the picture of Jim Belushi
fries.
When you're in Portillo's? I always do.
Really? I didn't even know there was a picture. There's a Belushi picture?
I think there's a Jim Belushi picture in every one of them, I think. I've only been to one that hasn't had one. I don't know. I mean, good for Jim. He's getting his name out there. But every time I go, I always go, that's interesting.
Is he an investor? Or
I don't
he
know.
He loves Portillo's.
I think he's just a friend of Dick Portillo's, okay. I think.
The beef at Portillo's is so good.
Yeah.
My dad says it's the best.
Yeah.
You don't eat no meat.
I don't eat meat.
Oh, good go.
Good
I
for
eat
you.
Chicken, I eat fish. I just don't eat
for
red
how long?
Meat.
For how long?
Oh,
let's
my
get
gosh.
Kim's full history.
It's been years. Years.
I'm proud of you.
But in the old days, Kim, I remember you used to eat it raw, like a
yeah.
cow would come by.
Steak
Kim would just take a bite
just,
out of the
you know,
cow.
I'm a reducitarian.
Shameless.
You know that we get credit now.
A reducitarian?
Yes. If you don't eat as much meat as you used to eat, you get to be called something.
Oh.
We're reducitarians.
Right? I didn't know that existed.
I think that's big. At least I could say I'm doing something. I'm a reducitarian. I used to go to Wendy's 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know.
It's 2, but okay.
Right.
Don't you go through periods, though, where it's not even that you crave it. It just make like circumstances just work themselves out that you're in a situation where you go, I know I've already had it 3 times this week, but here comes 4.
Right. And it's right. I mean, how can you say no? You go through the cafeteria line, they're serving burgers. What are you going
to
do?
Can't say no to that.
You can't say no to that.
But I so applaud you, Kim, for being able to. I wish
Thank
I had that
you.
Strength.
It's just now, it's been so long, I don't even miss it.
Don't you?
No.
When does
I
that kick in?
It,
when does the not
now
missing it
Now when I kind of look at meat, it's kind of like, I don't even want it. But I've never was a big fan anyway.
No.
You know, if I would go to a restaurant, I wouldn't order a steak.
For humanitarian reasons or otherwise?
It's kind of a little bit of both. Health reasons and... Just
a little bit of everything?
Yeah, a little bit of all of it.
We must take a break. Kim, thank you for hanging out. Greatly appreciate it. Mark and I will say goodbye in a moment. Yeah, it might get a little teary. Be ready for that. It's Bill and Mark in for Wendy on WGN. John Williams is here. And John, you just shared an important factoid with Mark Carmen and myself. Do you want to say?
Go ahead. I don't care.
You and your wife only have one television.
Brenda, Daisy and I only have one TV.
Wow.
And I shared with you the fact that the order of the clicker is... I'm number 3.
First your wife, then your dog, then you, making the decision on which TV shows.
It turns out Daisy likes a lot of the shows that Brenda does.
Oh, lucky. That's very fortunate.
Funny how that works out.
Yeah. Wow. And you don't feel that that's tough to survive in a household where there's only one?
There are times where I'd like to watch the White Sox game, but there's something else on that got in the way.
What do you get in return for being third on the clicker? Have you negotiated?
We don't live like that, Mark.
Oh, really?
I'm mad at you anyway. I don't even
mad
talk
at Mark
to you.
Harmon. How? How's that possible?
I wanted my Thai guy on my show.
Oh.
And now I've got to play audio of you talking to my guy, which is great because you're fantastic. I'm a big fan of yours. But I mean, I wanted that interview.
You said on the air yesterday you were efforting my Thai guy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's a great idea. And I then saw Paul Sullivan talking to him. So I had the luxury while you were on the air to go to Wrigley and hunt down Mai Tai guide. So I just walked to the bleachers and started asking.
He was still there? He came for the next day?
Where? Yeah.
He's always there.
Is he wearing the jersey still?
He's got seven of them.
I would not wear any of them. Don't you think that's a bad idea now?
Should lay low right now.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He was worried that I was going to, you know, go at him, but I'm not going.
This is coming off a week though, where you already had Alligator Bob on. You already had the guest of the week. So,
so did you guys play the audio back on your show here just now of Carm with Mai Tai?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which audio are you referring to?
Well, I don't know. The intern was pulling audio of you talking to Mai Tai guy.
Oh, okay.
This is where you were asking him what should be done with the ball and why did you do it.
Did you guys play that here?
Yeah, earlier this morning we did.
I missed it.
We played the, can he be the next Ronnie Woo Woo? Because, you know, Woo Woo's getting up there, John. Somebody's got to step into that role. Why can't
we? We love Ronnie Woo.
We do.
We do.
Well, some people do.
I was just going to say, as long as you're not standing on an L platform with him, but I mean, right. These are different animals completely.
Yeah.
Please promise me that.
Yes.
There was something else I was going to say. I know we got.
And you were up on the miracle that was Andy the Clown, right? You remember Andy the Clown?
I don't know what that is.
At White Sox games for years and years and years, a man dressed partially as a clown, not fully as a clown, but some clown makeup, would just walk around White Sox Park.
Oh, that's not good.
And say, "Over the fence is a home run."
That was the shtick for this guy.
Yeah.
That sounds creepy.
When they switched to the new White Sox Park, management suggested to Andy, "You can stop attending the games now. We're okay.
Here's $5. Don't come."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't know about that.
Y'all remember Superfan?
Yes.
Yeah.
From Bulls games?
Yes. Dude.
Where are you, Superfan?
He would sprint around the court. He was
waiting to happen.
And then he lost weight, and he was no longer Superfan, I think.
Yeah. I'd almost put Mark Cuban in that category, too. I don't, I'm there for the game, and yeah. I sort of appreciate the local color, but if you are a thing, what was the guy with John 3:17 or whatever, with the rainbow
games.
Hair? We haven't seen him in a while, have we?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the whole concept.
Oh.
Are we late?
A little bit. What's coming up? What do you have coming up?
I'm playing the audio of Carmen talking to the Mai Tai.
All right.
I guess I'm not going to do that now. I've got a bunch of stuff here. Never mind.
That sounds good. Right. We like a bunch of stuff.
Thanks.
Here's John. Listen to his show. He's got a bunch of stuff.